This is the Good Things Guy podcast with myself, Brendan DeCube, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy. I'm on a mission to change what the world pays attention to. I truly believe that there's good news all around us, and I spend my time hunting down and reporting on the best good news stories from South Africa and the world. In the Good Things Guy podcast, you'll meet these everyday heroes and hear their incredible stories.
Welcome back to another episode of the Good Things Guy podcast. I've got my really good friend, Riaan Mansa, and Murray Williams on the show today. We're chatting about a couple of things. The first being, guys, you wrote a book.
Yeah, sure. Can you believe it? Nice story behind that, and it's been doing quite well, Brent.
Okay, so it's a children's book that you put together of your first African adventure. It's called My First African Adventure. It was written by Mr. Riaan Mansa himself, and Murray Williams, and Chantal Tarling. It has been out for a while because I got sent this copy, I think about a year ago, but it's been in the news recently for something. What is going on with this book?
Yeah, Murray could probably answer this better. As he was very, very close to what the coalface of this happening. But there's an award that goes out every year where you take every single title into consideration, Brent, and then they give a crown, like literally crown a book of the year in South Africa. And can you believe it? With all the serious stuff, and how apt is this for the Good Things Guy to be celebrating this with us, is that a children's book trumped everybody. Everything that you saw published last year, this was the book of the year. The industry decided nothing was better than this.
Okay, but Riaan, we have to take a step back here because it's not just a children's book. It really is everything that you've been through. It's your African adventure, the story, this crazy story that you went on, that you get up on stages around the world to tell your stories about your adventures that you go on. And then you and Murray decided to put it into a children's book. So it's not just a children's book. It's an epic children's book.
It is an epic children's book. I know you sent me that picture of you and Andrew busy reading the book before as your bedtime stories. So it's an adult book as well. So now some adults have read it as well. Brent, listen, I want to actually have Murray tell the story. I always steal the limelight of this very, very special moment between Murray and I. We've known each other over two decades of doing what I do when he was an acclaimed award-winning journalist, early days. But how this actually came about is a wonderful story.
Tell us, Murray, take it away.
No, sure. You know, one day I was quite surprised to be given the news by my wife that we were having yet another child. And I was very alarmed, but delighted by this news. Anyway, along came Lot Lamaki, Bethany, number three. And from the moment she was born, I said to myself, this child is mine. And I'm spending all my time, because this is probably my last chance. And I bought an adult tricycle, and I put her baby car seat in the back when she was 6 months old, and off we trundled. And for the next 6 years, we explored everywhere on a whole succession of bicycles. And obviously at night, I try and read her stories. I try to immerse this little girl in the world of adventure. One day, we were riding along in a different bike, a 100-year-old postman's bike with Bethany perched in the front. And I saw a familiar figure trundling along the road, huffing and puffing up a long hill, the guy with the big black beard, who I'd written about 1,000 times as a journalist. And behind him was Fusty, pushing him a bit, and they were training for the Cape Epic. And I shouted out, Riaan, when are you going to tell Bethany your stories? Because, you know, fiction is wonderful. Fiction is about the imagination and all of that. But here before us was a real-life action hero. I didn't have to pretend. I could say to Bethany, every single thing this guy did is true. So I said to Riaan, we need to write a book for Bethany about your adventures, buddy. Stranger things have happened. Stranger things have happened. And we dived back into Riaan's adventures around Africa. And from the beginning, it was exactly more than a kid's book. Because, you know, there are many ways of staying young. People do all sorts of things to their bodies and faces and minds. But the best thing to do is to see the world through the eyes of a child. And that's how I was living. And Riaan was about to become a dad for the first time. So this is not a children's book. It's a book for everybody seen through the eyes of a child and experienced like a child. There are crazy things that happened to Riaan, including some very important toilet humor. Because guess what? We all like fart jokes, don't we? And this is the real deal, this book. This is Rian and I saying, come on, man, let's just have some fun with this extraordinary adventure and give it as a gift to South Africa. And hey, man, that's what we did. And we won at the SA Book Awards. We won number one children's book, and then we went up against the rest of the bookshelves, and we were so delighted that the booksellers themselves were the people that voted. These are the guys who every day were taking our book and saying, "Hey, Mr. Customer, come check this one." And they voted for us, and that's the greatest compliment, that this army of people who sell books and sell the realm of the imaginarium of books and everything, that they voted for it because they loved it as much as we have.
I just want to bring, just to chip in, just the fun part of that interaction on the mountainside. It's in Somerset West, and it was a monster hill. It wasn't a little hill, okay? It was a monster hill. Yes, I didn't want to stop. Like, I know Murray, and I'd stop for him any other time, but we were like a month away from the epic, and like, you can't mess about, you know? So we were smashing it. It was hard. I saw the blonde hair coming down the steep hill. Anyway, the moment I think that actually had me thinking seriously was when Beth was saying to me, "Yeah, my dad's right. My dad's right. You want to write for children." So I looked at Beth, and remember, it's across the road, so we didn't even cross to each other. We just stopped, and the cars were going in between us. I looked at Beth, and I said to her, "Beth, I promise you, I'll write a book for children. All I wanted to do was get away." It was like that night I got home on my phone. Murray had already booked us in like a local coffee shop for a session to sit down with books and to prepare the book. Brent, the story goes so deep. And I've shared it with Murray, and I don't even think Murray knows how out of love I was with the publishing industry. I know that you're in the space, and I mean, I've fallen back in love with the idea and the passion of writing and sharing with people. But I was out of love, man. Murray Williams was the only human being. If you ask my wife, there was nobody who was going to bring me close to publishing again. It's a cruel space to spend your time, and especially if you're trying to put food on the table. And Murray Williams was the one that brought me back to publishing. And now we've got two children's books on the shelf doing as well. Very, very grateful to him.
Writing and publishing, it is an art, but it does take a lot of work, a lot of arduous work, and you put your heart on your sleeve and you put it out there. And for it to get these awards and these accolades, where other booksellers are saying it's a really good book, that's just a feather in your cap. And well done to both of you.
Yeah, listen, it's not only us. I mean, if I may, Rian, we've got two fantastic members of our team as well. The first is Chantal Tarling, my co-author, and she's an industrial psychology graduate, and she's got an eye for detail. And she, in particular, produced these amazing fact pages about every single country around Africa, as well as writing. And then there's Martinus the Great. Martinus the Great is his new surname. It's actually Martinus van Tier, but we had this amazing session in the coffee shop where Martinus produced these beautiful images, all the figurines exactly the right size, proportionate, immaculately drawn. And we said, "No, no, buddy, you need to take a can of Red Bull and Galela into those pictures." And the result is, this is our second book, My First Wild Island Adventure. And you can see there's Red Bull swimming around everywhere here because the figures are larger than life, and there's animals, and there's action, and that's like spending time with Rion. If you want to have a nice, quiet, sober coffee where there'll be very serious discussion and deep thought about things, don't go to have a coffee with Rion Mansa. Wrong guy.
Well, I can attest to that. So, for all of the listeners back in the day, and I'm talking, I don't know, it must be 8 or 9 years ago, I had an island adventure with Rian. Rian was in Zanzibar speaking for some client, and I was there for a wedding, and him and I just hit it off. And yes, having coffee with Rian is like having Red Bull, because we sat and we spoke about our lives, and let me tell you, Rian's lived an incredibly interesting life. And the fact that he is now putting it into this children's book, quote unquote, because it's not, it's also an adult's book.
Yeah.
It's a book with lots of animation, which is really beautiful. But the fact that he's doing that, the world is lucky to be listening to these stories. That brings me to my next point that I wanted to talk about, because you are busy with another adventure. It's called Shaka Zulu. I got to go down to Cape Town when you broke that bottle of champagne. I think it's called the Bow. Broke it on the Bow, and I was there. and Shaka Zulu. So you've got this boat that the family put together. Tell the story, Rian. You bought the boat and you were working on it for years. And now what?
Yeah, Brent, you know what amazes me is, you know, I do get the chance to, I mean, that's how I put food on the table as I speak around the world. And I realize now, you know, not trying to be this humble South African, that I have lived an interesting life. I really have. I realize now also that as much as I sometimes try so hard to overlap and see the tracing paper and the lines match other people's lives, it automatically does. When I tell people we were sitting in Mauritius, Fast and I, and we were just having a cocktail and just sundowner and watching the boats bob around in the northern part of Mauritius, I looked at Fast and I said to her, and she knows when I'm serious. I looked at her and I said to her, gee whiskers, Fast, I promised you that I was going to buy us a boat and our family was going to be able to see the world. And I paused, and she knew I was being serious. And I didn't know how to commit, Brent. And that's one thing that I'm good at. It's like, out of all the things I'm not good at, I tell you one thing is that I decide and then I go. And then it's hard to get me off the track. And I said to Fasti, before this month is over, we will own a boat. And then she said, okay, good luck, see how that goes. On the 30th of April, standing at our little kitchen, walking around this little island, walking around, just having to press that enter button for the EFT. And eventually I did it about 10 to 10 that night. I pressed the button and we owned a boat. In the morning, I was dressing James, putting the shirt over his head. And I just, before I pulled the shirt over, I said to him, James, we bought a sailboat last night. Pulled the shirt over. He looked at me and said, but why do we want a boat? What are we going to do with it? And I said, we can go anywhere in the world you want. The validation for this adventure with my family and the boat called Shaka Zulu was when James looked up at me and he said to me, can we go to China? And I said, yep, we can. He said, that means we can go eat Chinese noodles with Chinese people. And I said to myself, are you kidding me? That's exactly what I want to do for my family. Brent, the boat has had a splashing. You were there when we had to, first of all, unsuccessfully try and bash that very, very sturdily built bottle of champagne on the bow. It's not that easy. For those who have seen it on TV, I hit that bow a few times with that bottle. And then we got her back to Royal Cape Yacht Club. And then we sailed. Our goal being Madagascar. We only made it with a huge adventure behind us to Maputo. We got to Inyaka Island and we spent 6 weeks on the boat, the family just returning the week before last, with a couple of very good and some painful stories to tell.
You take away the kayak and you put a yacht there and you put two little beautiful boys, James and Samuel and Fusty, and all of this stuff was happening.
Yeah, Brent, to your question, yes, we did. We sailed up the South African coast. Amazing, amazing coast. I mean, there's the things that I wish every South African could do. The wild coast is a wild coast. People speak about it being all this, the fear-mongering that goes around that coast being as treacherous as is warranted. But my goodness, sailing, that part of our country is phenomenal. And then we obviously sailed up past Durban and past Richards Bay, all the way up past Ponta de Oro into Maputo Bay, and had a wonderful 6 weeks.
Yeah, and what a great time to be with your family, first of all, but also for the kids. Yeah. What a great adventure and a learning for them to be on a sailboat with mom and dad, seeing that side of South Africa. I mean, there's a handful of people in the world that can say that they've done that. And your two kids, who are both, if I recall, under six, are getting to experience that. It's absolutely amazing.
No, it is. But I mean, Murray's got the experience. He's ahead of us in that he's got older kids as well. So he's walked that path. But there is nothing better than rather showing, and it's a steal from Murray now, instead of telling. So I can tell my children to be tolerant of others, other cultures, other people. You have to live it to be able to become that human being. None of us are perfect. But if I was going to be very, very, very dishonest with you, Brent, my kids would be standing here kicking my legs now saying, tell Uncle Brent the truth. No, shame. They had some horrid times, Brent, me shouting at them to get down. Remember the big storms that South Africa had 3-4 weeks ago? We were out on the ocean while those swells were busy pummeling the coast of South Africa. So and up the coast to Mozambique. We had some wonderful times, but my goodness, Brent, my wife had a hook through her finger. She was down in the bow of the boat in the cabin. She shouted back at me and said, listen, a hook's gone through my finger. So I tried to be the good guy, the boat being battered. The one sail had ripped and hooked into the front lines, and I needed somebody to come down just to pull it down because I was steering. So I'm screaming at her saying, get out, I need you. Hearing that the hook's gone through a finger, I paused for like 15 seconds. Then I shouted, bite through the line, bite through the line. So she bites through the line. She comes trundling down the corridor, past the main room, to the companionway. She lifts her hand up, and there the hook is just stuck in with the roller hooked on it. Brain, so ashamedly, I didn't say to her, Fusty, I'm so sorry, how can I take the pain away? I leaned to my right where I knew my tools were, and I got the bolt cutter, and I cut the top of the hook off, and then I said to her, put a plaster around it. I need you to bring down the mainsail. Yo, that was one of the horror stories we had. But Brent, if you asked Fusty now, yo, only good stories must have a bit of blood, sweat, and tears. That makes a good story.
Rian, I recall, now this is going back, I think, 8 years ago, when you and Fusty were in the middle of the ocean and you were all alone. And I had a different podcast at the time. I'm going to link it to the show, actually, because that phone call, it had me worried about you guys. You'd spent a night where there was a massive storm. You'd hit your head. Fusty, I think, had to put stitches. She had to stitch you. At one point, you were swimming for your life to get back to the boat. And when I spoke to you, it was harrowing. So what I wanted to say here is you've lived a life. Your adventures have taken you all around the world. And speaka now, like you are, about Shaka Zulu and what you went through, and I'm sure you've got lots of adventures lined up. All that I can think is that this children's book is not one or two books. I think there's like a series of 20 that are going to come out of this thing.
Murray and I meet tomorrow for our third book. So Murray showed you the second, which was this one, My Wild Island Adventure. But, you know, you mentioned some of those stories. Brent, I actually have to just quantify. Sometimes people think that my career over the last 20 years has been about getting myself into dangerous spaces. It absolutely isn't. What it is going to go and discover places that many people aren't willing to. And unfortunately, one of the taxes that you have to pay is a bit of danger. It's not, I said to Fusty when we were leaving Maputo Bay, we were heading back into this massive storm to Richards Bay and to Durban. You know, I was saying to her, Fusty, I know, unfortunately, we're going to have some drama. It's not going to be free. This is not going to be a free ride, plain sailing, as the cliche would go. But Brent, yeah, there's 20 books in this, man. Murray and I already start. I don't know. Murray knows a little bit more about the admin and the details, but our commitment to our publishers to have my first Frozen adventure on the shelves early next year. So it is. It's a whole series. And I think, Brent, you and Murray touched on it as well. I'm only getting convinced of it as time goes by, is that it is not just a book for children. It's not just a book that adults can be fascinated with, because many adults read it. But Murray, as at one of our launches, we were sitting and I had other big shots on the stage with me that were probably stealing more of the limelight. And, you know, I wanted a little bit of a focus on our book. And Murray quipped out of the audience. He was saying that your book is not a book for children or a book for adults. It's a book for families. Brent, you must see the messages that we've got from people, mothers, fathers, uncles, aunts, that tell us how they've bonded with the youngsters when they sit down and they just share the fun in an image, the joy of a story and the wording and the putting together. And it's a family book, Brent, absolutely. And we're very proud of it. Many more to come.
Well, my friend, I'm very proud of you. And I'm so honored to have followed a little bit in your adventures. I know that you're a man that doesn't have much time, so I don't want to keep you much longer. But before I let you go, you mentioned My Frozen Adventure, and we're not speaking about the Disney movie here. We're speaking, I guess, I'm assuming, your annual December pilgrimage to Antarctica, correct?
Actually, very well put together, but it's not. It is my journey circumnavigating Iceland, the journey that I did with Dan Skinstad, a handicapped friend of mine, where we circumnavigated, the only human beings in history that have circumnavigated Iceland. This beautiful piece of earth over here. We're going to be telling people about volcanoes, ice, polar bears. Yeah, we're going to be telling them about that. But Murray and I actually do a lot of work in Antarctica. Murray, you know what? We should maybe try to see if we can get Brent down. I don't want to promise. Murray's a little bit more senior than me. But I think probably Brent deserves a little bit of a role in the ice there in Antarctica if we can make that happen.
I mean, I just putting it out there, you did take Pippa last year, and I watched online. I saw all of the posts, and I saw how the Matrix were all learning great things in Antarctica. That trip that you take every year is absolutely incredible, and I think the opportunity that you're giving to these future young leaders of tomorrow, it's life-changing. It's taking them on the ground to a place where they can learn about a different place and climate change and everything that comes with that. So I think the work you're doing in that
time
is phenomenal.
No, those students are amazing. One of them actually, Brent, works for President Ramaphosa in his climate council. Can you imagine that? We talk about it being you must see the mail we get. People telling us in comments, I mean, that's social media, I guess, so we accept it. But we get told that we're wasting that 500,600,000 rand value prize on a student that does nothing with it except it being a joyride. Brent, those students are going to prove those naysayers wrong. Murray will tell you he's very closely linked with the project. We're very confident that these students in boardrooms in 10 years' time are going to change the environmental space we're in. They are. We need more of these students in the boardrooms. We don't need the same old in the boardrooms, making the same old answers to the questions being asked about the environment.
Yeah, but that's why I love you. That's why I love the Riyad Mansour brand, because it is also a brand, is because it's not just about seeking out and showing places to people that may have never been able to see them. It's also about leaving this legacy behind of these young kids that will go forward and do great things. Guys, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I know my listeners are going to love listening to this conversation and hearing about all your adventures. To all the Good Things Guy listeners, please go and support Riyad and Murray. Buy the book. It is a good book. I've really read it. I really did send Rian a photo of Andrew and I reading it in bed. It's a great book, and it's a family book. And I think I'm just really proud of my friend for writing this book and putting it out into the world.
Bye, friends. Nice to see you.
That's it. Wishing you only good things. And for more good things, visit www.goodthingsguy.com. Okay? Love you. Bye.